Welcome, everyone, to Midday Magazine for this October 31st, 2023. Have your host, James J. Mailoff here. I am joined in studio by some great people. We have our good friend, Craig Broren, superintendent of Wisconsin Rapids Public Schools with us. Craig, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Good to see you. And you brought a friend in. We have principal of Mead Elementary, Amber Appleby, with us. Amber, good to see you.
Good to see you.
Thanks for being here, guys. Appreciate this. Have you here, especially, we have to note this, it's Halloween. We have two people from our public school system here. So right away, do want to hit on, please keep a lookout for kids today when you're Halloween trick-or-treating or you're just driving around or anything like that. Keep a lookout for vampires, ghouls, Paw Patrol, Dora the Explorer. I'm really dating myself. My kids are older, so I don't know modern cartoons. But yeah, keep a lookout for all the little guys out there and little girls and guys out there and everything, and have some fun, everybody. So I wanted to kick off talking about Mead Elementary. Great school, wonderful
yes.
place. We love that school, love all of our local schools around here. Amber, what's the news with Mead? What's going on over there? What can you tell us about the school?
Absolutely. We've got some great things going on over at Mead, especially this year. One of our celebrations is, we had very little turnover from our staff from last year to this year. So we've been able to kind of hit the ground running with a lot of the same teachers and staff that we've had. So, that always helps, kids not having to deal with a lot of different change.
Yeah.
And really just move the needle a little bit more with that. The kids that we have are wonderful. They come in ready to learn, so excited. You're never going to get more hugs than you do at Mead when you come on in. They're ready to just love up on you. So that's wonderful. And I've never worked with a harder working staff. They're willing to just go the extra mile, and we do have some kids that need that extra mile, and they are more than willing to just boots on the ground, get in and do it. So
very cool.
Yeah, absolutely.
Impressive to hear about the turnover, the lack of, I should
right,
say.
Right.
Craig, is that something that we have a lot of in this area of turnover, of losing teachers and getting new teachers in or that? It's something statistically that I see throughout the nation is an issue that I think plenty of news outlets have covered. But just curious locally here, is that something that we run into quite a bit?
Yeah, absolutely. It's higher now than it has been. We had a peak of 68 professional positions that we hired. Not for this year, but for the year prior. And that's pretty significant. So we have about 380 professional staff members. That's teachers, counselors, school psychologists, that kind of thing. And so typically we've seen between, say, 20 and 30, maybe mid-30s in terms of new hires that we have to do each year. Our staff, when I started here, skewed towards the older end of the spectrum, which I think is a credit to WRPS because most of the staff that we had would stick around for a 25 to 35-year career, right? And that's changing a bit. So, there is higher turnover in schools in general. With Mead in particular, the turnover at Mead, because I can't emphasize this enough with regard to the demographic that Mead serves. And that is the fact that there's definitely some challenging kids. Now, we have circumstances in all of our school facilities that, Mead is not an outlier in that regard because, of course, there's kids with a confluence of issues that we see in schools in this day and age. But nonetheless, Mead is one of our schools that serves a very diverse population as well as a high socioeconomically disadvantaged population, approaching it's over 80%. So that's significant. And that aspect and that nature of demographic has a tendency to elicit turnover, which and that's not meant to make any kind of derogatory commentary to the demographic, but just to say that it's hard. It's super hard. Teaching is hard. Being involved in public education is hard. And with very complex and kids in difficult circumstances is taxing, unbelievably taxing. And that is absolutely a contributor to some of the turnover. Now, with that being said, when I first started here in Rapids in 2017, there was typically requests to move out of Mead, a handful each year, because we have an internal transfer process as well as, of course, you hire positions as people retire. And we've made it an effort to not unilaterally transfer people to buildings that they don't want to be in, right? Mm-hmm. We think that an employee that's placed appropriately where they feel they want to be is a better employee than mm-hmm. where we're telling them they need to be.
Sure.
Now, with that being said, we do find ourselves in circumstances in which we are required to do that yeah. on occasion, but it's quite rare. And so clearly, if you want somebody to work at Mead, you want them to want to be there, right?
Right.
And if there was folks that requested to transfer out, if we had the opportunity, most of the time we would honor that. So there would be, I would say, 3 or 4 staff members per year that would transition out of Mead and then get filled in by right. new hires or other right. district employees.
Mm-hmm.
And recently, that has changed to right. the degree where there was 0 this past year. And in my time here, I don't believe that's happened in the past.
Mm-hmm.
And that would include internal transfers as well as retirements or resignations. Mm-hmm. And so I think that speaks to the leadership of Mead.
Absolutely.
That also speaks to the staff there. Mm-hmm. And Amber mentions this. As the superintendent, clearly I have purview over all of our facilities, but I do not have direct involvement in Mead mm-hmm. any more than I have direct involvement in any of our buildings.
Mm-hmm.
And I can tell you as kind of a bit of an outside observer with a clearly vested interest, right, mm-hmm. and a responsibility, that the Mead staff is unbelievable.
Absolutely.
They are absolutely unbelievable. And we have fantastic staff in all of our buildings.
Yep.
But this is not meant to play favorites. They are incredible.
Yeah.
Because there is a significant number of students with complex issues and families with complex issues, and that staff comes together
yep,
and makes it work for our kids
mm-hmm.
because they know they're our kids.
It's it would be impressive just on its own to not have any turnover, to not have any new positions to hire
Correct.
Or anything. With the factors that Craig mentions there about the type of demographic, mm-hmm. the type of kids there, I find that even more, like beyond impressive.
Yep.
And I want to be clear about this. I'm coming from a place, I was that knucklehead kid.
Yeah.
I was that troublemaker and all that.
Yep.
I moved to this state and I couldn't wait to let people know what I was about and everything because I was like a lot of kids at that age,
mm-hmm.
Angry and didn't even know why
yeah.
and dealing with a lot of mm-hmm. turmoil and trauma that I had not faced yet and those
yep.
things. And then I come to Washington Elementary.
Yeah.
And now when I was going to Humpke, I had some troubles there. And I had some a lot of confusion, a lot of misunderstandings. And it was a difficult time. So I came into Washington here in Rapids
yeah.
with a chip on my shoulder and could not be more of like, well, what are these guys going to teach me? What is this going to be? And I was fortunate enough to have a teacher a principal like Mr. Orlowski,
yeah.
Who did you know him?
Yep.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
Okay, Mr.
Mm-hmm.
O. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That man will always mean a lot to me because he was one of the first people that I can't remember what it was, but I got into a fight or something, and he called just me into the office, not the other kid I got in the fight in. And I immediately remember, I still remember it like it was yesterday. Oh, I'm the one he calls in.
Yeah.
He called me in because the other kid he had already talked to. And he wanted to have just a simple one-on-one conversation with me. And when I walked in there, he didn't ask me why I caused the fight, what was wrong with me, didn't punish me, didn't yell at me. He immediately asked, how are you?
Mm-hmm. Are you okay?
Yeah. Yeah. Are you okay? What's going on? How you been? How are you adjusting to school? All these things. I'll never forget. I'm getting goosebumps just thinking about it because it's the first time in my life anybody, an adult, had really done that for me.
Yep.
And immediately from that point on, I was still a bit of a knucklehead, don't get me wrong.
Right.
But I started to grow from that. I started mm-hmm. to learn from that. You have the same staff as you did last year. And mm-hmm. having that turnover, having that consistency, especially for this type of child, this type of student,
exactly.
How big of a factor is that?
It's huge because then kids know, like, am I going to have you next year? And that teacher might actually be there. And they can return knowing that this might be my third grade teacher and I'm going to see you next year. That is huge. You know, in many of our kids' backgrounds, it's unpredictable, you know. And so having that predictability at school is huge. In addition to that, it's our teacher teams. You know, our teachers can go across the hall to anywhere, not just their teaching partners, but anywhere across the hall and know that mm-hmm. they've got a shoulder to lean on, someone to bounce an idea off of. The amount of trust that we have among our staff is huge. And then that, it, you know, kind of bleeds into the students. They can see that, you know, the staff lean on one another, trust one another. And so the students then feel comfortable to do that with the staff and with each other. And it just creates an amazing school community and a supportive school community that we're just really moving along now over there.
Human beings, our brains seek out routine. We want routine. Exactly. It's common for us. It's normal for us. It's reassuring in many ways.
Yeah.
Even though we are some years removed from it, the pandemic really threw a lot of that stuff off and everything to where we're just kind of now, if not, maybe a year ago, starting to get things kind of back. So you throw all these factors in there, and then you have the type of kids, the type of students that you have at Mead.
Yep.
So having that routine, that consistency, that seems like it would be one of the more important jobs for a principal there.
Absolutely.
Is that the case? Is that how that works?
Absolutely. And I think you nailed it too, is just building that connection. You know, when you talked about your experience with Mr. O, it's building those connections with kids and letting them know that, yeah, we're here to teach you stuff, but we're also here for you in general. We teach the whole child. We work with the whole child, and in developing those connections, developing that. And then they know that we're going to show up for them every day. Their bad days and their good days, we are there. And we're, you know, everyone has a good day. Everyone has a bad day. Sometimes you just don't, you know, you roll out of the wrong side of the bed, right? Mm-hmm. And so teaching those tools of how to handle that, having that social emotional piece to it as well as the academic piece to it is huge, because then kids have those skills. They come in knowing that they're cared for and that they have that well-rounded piece, and that consistency all around is definitely very supportive and helpful for them.
Craig, we're just kind of getting going here into the school year. How are things going so far from your perspective?
Pretty well. So it's been, I'm going to say, knock on wood, a bit quieter this year than the last few. I think we all recognize what transpired in the last few years.
Yeah.
This idea of getting back to normal, as it were, I think that was the commentary for last year. And frankly, it was not. It was a very abnormal year for a lot of reasons.
Yeah.
It certainly seems like things are a bit more calm, generally speaking, in the community, and clearly within the schools too. There's always going to be ups and downs. There's going to be things that happen, right? Some are in our control, some are beyond our control. But I think what we have, shown to the community is that we're going to be as proactive as we can. We're going to communicate, and we're going to try to make it better if it's something that we have control over. And, you know, that's, I guess, the best you can hope for.
In the last couple of years, I would say last 2 years or a year and a half, I've had two different weird scenarios happen with fellow teachers of mine. And I teach a improv, acting, and writing.
Oh, wonderful.
So I'm not a real teacher, but sort of.
That counts.
A little bit. with teachers, I've had these situations. I had one teacher who had been doing this 20-some years, and she just she had enough and she was done. And so she stopped teaching. I think she has an Etsy account or something like that now that she's doing and everything, because she kind of got burnt out. Another friend of mine who has been maybe about 5 or 10 years less than she had been, couldn't be more invigorated and couldn't be more excited about education and the future of that and where that's going. I meant to mention the lady beforehand. One of her problems was that dealing with the parents of students that we have. We're dealing with 18, 19, 20 year olds. I am. And sometimes their parents are still reaching out to us and asking, you know, are our child's getting their money's worth and things like this and everything. I can't imagine what it is like on a grade school, high school level when it comes to that. Talking to a lot of our locals around here, and especially people that call into the show, I like to talk about, hey, do you have students in school? How is that going? Mm-hmm. How is it going with teachers? And for me, from my perspective, I would say in the last year, there has been a lot of change with that. I've heard a lot more of positivity. I've heard a lot more from people. Even when I hear from somebody that has an issue or something, they're talking about it like an adult. They're talking about it in a rational voice and everything. That's what I'm seeing. I'm curious, how about for you guys? Are you seeing more of this? Are we getting things back to a little bit more of a balance with the relationship between parents and students, or parents and teachers, parents in public, you know, like be a superintendent in that? Are you guys seeing that?
Well, and I think parents are always doing the best that they possibly can, right? You know, we all have a lot on our plates at any given time. And so, you know, whenever they're reaching out, it's always in the best interest of their child. And they're definitely trying to come from a place of understanding. And, you know, we use a variety of form of communication. And we have a Seesaw app that we use that gives parents better direct access to teachers. So it's a quick, you know, they can open up an app on their phone, do a quick message, almost like a text to the teacher. And I think that helps parents feel more informed. And, you know, know, same thing, teachers can quick snap a picture to say, hey, here's what your kids are doing. Kids, you know, I think parents just want to feel informed. They want to feel in the loop. They want to feel included. So as long as we're doing our due diligence in schools of communicating that, for the most part, it's going great. I mean, parents do, you know, obviously have concerns here and there. For the most part, we can easily work it out. You know, if they call in with concerns, and we always reach out or encourage parents to reach out if they have any concerns, to talk to us directly about it. You know, it's you know, you can always stew on something, but you're never going to fix it if you just stew on it to yourself or to your, you know, your friend group. So reach out to us, and we will more than willing to work out with you on it. And I've never had a situation with a parent where we haven't been able to come to some sort of a resolution. And again, they're always coming from a place of wanting to help and wanting the best for their kids. And I think that's, you know, always just to keep in mind that, you know, we are all doing it for the kids, and we all want what's best for the kids, and we are all a team working in the same direction. So, I mean, I see that every single time whenever we, you know, as long as we have that mindset in place of what's best for our kids and we're all on the same team, which is team students and team kids, then, you know, it always works out for us.
Well said. Craig, from your perspective?
Yeah, I think the temperature is generally cooled. I can, you know, tell you that I haven't been told I should die or need to die in the last
year.
So, I mean, and up until, you know, recent history, I would say that never happened in my 14-year career as a superintendent. But, hey, you know, things change. But I think we're past that now. We're back to some more normal behavior. There's a definite shift, right? So back in the day, and my parents are baby boomers, right? They're born in the 40s. And they their expectation of parenting and their kids is vastly different than mine is, although I am a bit of a traditionalist in terms of my expectation of my own kids. But and a point being made is that, look, you know, you are required to go to school. Right. I had smashed my index finger off my right hand as a kid. And when I say smashed it off, I mean it was hanging on by a piece of skin. And then it was put back on, wrapped up. And they said, hey, let's come back in a couple of weeks. If it's still there and not black, we'll leave it on. If it is black, we're going to cut it off. That was the game plan for the medical treatment.
Dang.
I raised that because guess where I was the following day after that was done? In school. And I wasn't on any kind of drugs. They said, take Tylenol if there's a lot of pain. And trust me, if you've smashed a digit, there's a lot of pain. But no, I was in school. And that's because my mom, it wouldn't matter. Go to school. That attitude is a bit different in this day and age for many parents, which is unique. It's different. We're struggling with attendance. We're struggling with truancy. And very clearly, I don't know what you're going to read or see or some rhetoric that you might hear or see, you know, in various areas around the state. School attendance is 100% a parental responsibility. Our responsibility is to be open and provide the services. I mean, we will even come get you. That happens too.
We've done that before.
We've done that more than just the bus routes, right? So, I mean, there's things we can do, but for the love of God, it's a parent deal. Parents got to get their kids ready and get them out the door. This idea that my kid won't go to school is not really a thing. I don't want to tell you what would have happened to me. And I can tell you what would happen to my kids if they woke up and said, no, I'm not going today. I have more power than you, and you're going to go. So it's an interesting dynamic. But with what Amber said, if our focus from the parental perspective and the school perspective is from what's best for that kid, and it's not because we said so, it's common sense, right? When a kid's in school, they get socialization. They get interaction with peers and, of course, the academics and all of the other pieces. We know that we need that now more than ever, right? And we also don't need lack of responsibility for one's own focus and pursuits. Because ultimately, my circumstance is a direct result of me. Someone else's circumstance is a direct result of them. And this blaming everybody and everything aside from, you know, holding yourself accountable and making changes that are advantageous is what we need to move away from. So there's that interesting dynamic. However, if you pare it down to what parents care about, they care about their kids. There's no question. Mm-hmm. It's just about identifying what these priorities are and figuring out how we can work together to make those things happen.
Right. Yeah.
Well, and we saw some of that last year. We started an attendance club, which will continue this year too, for some kids that did struggle with attendance. Mm-hmm. And we would send home alarm clocks with kids, and we'd say, okay, if your bus picks you up at this time, you should set your alarm clock for this time. You should come to school. You know, and this was geared more towards kids that were having some truancy issues. And they, you know, we would reflect, and we started tracking their attendance. You know, stickers. We were even bribing with candy bars occasionally, you know, try to get them to come to school. And they were noticing, hey, when I come to school, I can do the fun things. When I miss those couple of days, all they give me is these worksheets to make up. I can't dissect the owl pellet when I'm not there. You know, I can't do the field trip when I'm not there. The fun things I miss out on, and the friendships and all of that. And so they really came to understanding the real, like, nitty gritty part of school, not just the book work and the worksheets and all of that, but the actual real authentic part of being in school is needed. You have to be there to get that part. And so they came to that realization on their own, being a part of this club. And so we're going to continue that group again this year. And actually, every kid that was in the attendance club last year no longer has an attendance issue this year. So we're hoping we're going to continue that moving forward with more kids this year, because we need them in school. So that would be, parents, if you can do anything to help us out, get your kid to school on time every day. That's the number one thing we need.
Yeah. You get what you put into things in life, and it's one of the biggest things you learn from a young age as a child, and you learn that from probably usually watching your parents and watching adults. I mean, they're sponges. Mm-hmm. The way you want your child to turn out is the way you should be handling your own self and your own acting and the way you treat people and everything. And certainly the idea that, well, one day they're going to have to work. They're going to have to go to a job, and they're not going to want to do that every day, but there are days where you just got to you know, suck it up and do it.
Exactly.
You learn that in school. There's plenty of days. I love learning. There were plenty of days where I couldn't wait to get to school, and there were plenty of days I did not want to go to school. But my mom and dad, very similar to yours, Craig, I was going every day. Yeah. There was no way I was missing, unless of obvious reasons.
Right.
That's something that modern-day parents have to instill, have to show their kids. It is building them to be good adults, to be good citizens, to be able to put back into the world. That's what this is all about. Part of that lesson is the little things that you do just by leading by example in that. We don't have the time to really get into one of the subjects I wanted to, but I would like to, the next time you join us, Craig, talk about a little bit more about bullying and the how that is going in our area. I've heard some really positive things about that and some real encouraging things about it. Mm-hmm. And like most adults, you know, I also see headlines and that. So I really like to get into that topic the next time we have enough time.
Yeah.
I think that'll be a good one. As of right now, we're wrapping up, just a couple of minutes left. Amber, are there any events, any things going on over at Mead that we want to let people know about, or just anything fun going on over there that you want to let us know? How are you guys celebrating Halloween this year, Mark?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, yeah, we don't do the costumes at school. You know, we save that for the trick-or-treating fun after school.
Yeah,
but yeah, this afternoon, kids will be getting a couple extra snacks, I'm sure. Probably a video or two, games, bingo. I know that's going on in a couple of classrooms. So just some things to build that classroom community, you know, give some things for kids to look forward to. Because always, whenever we can spend some time together, that's, you know, that quality community time is always important. So.
Yeah. Yeah, very cool.
Absolutely.
Amber, if people have, you know, follow-up questions or anything like that, they just whether they have a kid in school at Mead or not, maybe they just enjoyed hearing you talk, how can people reach you? How can they contact you?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, they can always check out the Mead Facebook page. You know, that's where we like to try to highlight some of the fun things that we do in our building from day to day. In addition to that, you can always call us, you know, over to the Mead office, and Miss Gail, our secretary, Miss Stacy, will get you connected to me. Email is always a great way to shout out as well.
Thank you, Amber. Yeah. Thank you very much for the time and joining us today.
Absolutely.
I feel a little bit like when I have students come in and they want me to keep them as long as I can so they don't have to go back to school. Like, you can stick around for a little while if you want. No. Thank you again, Amber. Appreciate the time. Craig, similar question. People have follow-up questions, want to get a hold of you. How can they do that?
So our website, wrps.org, and also 715-424-6701 is my direct line.
We've got a lot of great, we're really fortunate in this area. We have a lot of great nonprofits, a lot of great businesses putting back into this community, doing some vital and really good work. I just got to talk to Rock and talking about Veteran Services and the great work that group does here and everything. I don't know if anybody is doing more vital work in this community than you guys and your staffs and the people that are working in our schools. This is the future. This is what it's all about. We plant trees not to see them grow, but for children to see them grow. That's what this this is all about. We are planting trees right now. Appreciate the work that you guys are doing. Keep up the great work. Have a fun Halloween, and thank you very much for hanging out with us for a while.
Awesome. Thanks for having us.
Thanks, James.
We'll come back with more Midday Magazine tomorrow for you right here on 97.5 FM, 1320 AM WFHR. We are locally grown radio.